Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Such a cool section we're working on right now. So rich. So many of the fundamentals of A Course in Miracles that if you could get, just would make not only A Course in Miracles understanding easier, but your whole spiritual journey. You know, the resistance is lack of understanding. It's the words are there, the concepts are there. Maybe even in your own mind, the concepts are already there. But what's missing is an ownership of the ideas, or really an understanding of truth versus the illusion. It's a very, very good illusion. And it's not good enough to know that it's an illusion, because it's so familiar and it's so counted on and so trusted. We really would have to have some courage to be able to choose the truth. And so, you know, Course in Miracles is delicately, I think, you know, as radically as you can without getting thrown out the window by everybody calling you on your illusion, your sacred special self, your illusion. And so there's a choice that we make, we Course in Miracles students, a pretty bold choice that we make. It's not a surprise to me that A Course in Miracles isn't more popular when I realize how much of a change in mind we're talking about. And on the other hand, because the changes work so well for me to bring peace into my life, in a way that I don't think I could be angry anymore. I don't think it's possible. The ideas of somehow that I could be happier if the world were different, this doesn't make any more sense. I can be happier when my mind is different. That works. And so anytime something happens in the world, I now have a way to navigate immediately back to my happiness if I even lose it in the first place. The illusion is looking like an illusion to me, and it's also looking less like a mistake. It's another interesting thing that has occurred to me in the last couple of years as my Course in Miracles goes along, as I see that there really aren't any mistakes, that this whole world is a wonderful invention, not a creation. It was designed as an invention, something that comes and goes and can be applied. It's not at the level of creation. And Course in Miracles, when you see that perspective, Course in Miracles then supports your understanding of the truth versus the illusion. And it's so consistent that I guess you'd say a really treacherous journey of challenging the things here in the world that you already love so much, and the things you think here that are really worth keeping. Those becomes fighting words with the ego when we realize that A Course in Miracles is pretty absolute. When you get down to some of what we're about to read tonight, if you take it all the way, it challenges some of the things that maybe you are using for comfort. Maybe some of the things that you were turning to for to try to make your life better, and they worked, but then your life came back to a challenge anyway. But still, at least you know what to do for these short-term comfort. It challenges those as blocks to the awareness of love's presence. Well, it's a good thing, because you've been using a crutch rather than walking free. The choice that we're talking about tonight is going from, you know, a dedication to the illusion to choosing the truth. And more specifically, thank God it's not something as open-ended as that, it's really the willingness to not do the illusion. See, because you probably don't know the whole truth. You probably don't own that, otherwise you wouldn't be here or at least studying like this, most likely. But you do know the illusion. You do know the body identity very personally, very thoroughly. You know what scares you. You know what makes you feel strong. You know what makes you feel weak. You know what it feels like to be afraid. This you know for sure. When I say, do you know what it feels like to be joyous? You say, yes. If I say, do you know what it feels like to be afraid? You say, yes. Do you see? because it's where you are. It's where you are. So this is what we're learning about, is this choosing away from the illusion. Not so much choosing the truth, because the truth is, and you wouldn't have to go find something that's there all the time. However, you would have to stop staring at something for a cartoon or something not real in order for you to go into the awareness of reality. That's really what we're doing at the Course in Miracles. The truth takes care of itself. But we're challenged now with the immediacy of the illusion, the way it just jumps into our life, and it seems to have control over your heart sometimes, right? And your mind. An illusion has a quick way to push your buttons mentally and physically. Sometimes it's physical pain. The illusion has a way, because that's what it was designed for. Like I say, there was no mistake at that level. It's a very clever invention, and it's working quite nicely. But our work is to be willing, ready and willing, and then actually to do it for an instant here and an instant there, and that is this: choose away from the illusion. Be willing to choose away from the illusion. And what's the illusion? Everything you know now. Everything you know now. So there's another aspect that A Course in Miracles reveals to make it easier or obvious of a choice. Is there a better word? Yeah, probably even justified. For you to make a justified choice away from everything you know now, everything you trust now as being true. And it really, what parts of your life that you live now in a body, time, space, job, family, money, diet, weight, health, is any or all of this your master? So this is what I'd like you to look at now. I'd like you to look at this world and decide, do you control your life, or does your life control you? That's all. That's all. Just spend a few minutes becoming aware of where we actually come down on that simple question. We'll just sit for 5 minutes roughly with this. Look into your experience. Look into your honesty right now for tonight. And ask this question. Does your life control you? Or do you control your life? Does the world make you think? Or do you think and then apply it to the world? Who's the boss? Kind of a sobering topic. Misako, do you control the world? Does the world control you?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can. Perfect.
Okay, great. Definitely the world controls me. And in moments of clarity, then I can have one of those beautiful instant moments and have a shift in the way that I relate to it. Not like a film, but there's an actually choice. What other possibility is there?
Beautiful. Thank you. Luann, does the world control you?
I got into one of those circles that you're always talking about. It feels like sometimes I'm controlling my thoughts. Like, for instance, I think, well, I should go exercise, and then I decide I'm not going to. And then it feels like my body controls my thoughts, because sometimes my body is feeling something, and I look at it and say, well, what is it that it's trying to tell me? So then my thought comes from my body. So it feels like it's a kind of a circle-ish thing for me.
Which?
A circle-ish. In other words,
yeah.
It's like I think something and that controls how I feel. I feel something that controls how I think. And then I think I step outside of that a little bit and decide what I'm going to think. So it's kind of like it's all mixed up for me.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy. And were you to go exercise?
Yeah.
Were you to go exercise? Who wins in that exchange?
Who wins? Or do you mean what wins?
Sure.
Well, my body wins. It feels a lot better.
My God, you've loved your body. And?
Yeah. And I win because I feel good about making my body feel better.
And yeah, and you sleep better and you look better. And, oh, my God, everything's...
And things are easier. So
and things are easier. Stronger.
Right. And then sometimes I feel like I'm in that other half of my mind that says, forget all of that and let me run your body. And I feel like that's when I'm asking the Holy Spirit what to do, and I go by that guidance.
I just want to point out that it's clearly a act of strength and love and helpfulness for you to exercise.
I know you've told me that before.
Well, I know. But now I mean it, you know, philosophically.
Okay.
Yeah. So same thing for you to find a way to be able to afford food and rent and health care and all that.
Yeah, and sometimes one of those things also starts controlling me.
Indeed.
Yeah.
But this is not a violent act for you to go exercise. This is not a harmful act for you to go exercise.
And actually, it feels really good. My body feels good for a few days afterwards.
This is important to not deny. Very good. Jacqueline?
I went past the answering the questions, and all of a sudden, I just totally saw. First, I started to feel sort of ashamed and guilty because I'm so immersed in my personality and this, the world as we see it, the illusion. And then I realized it's like what I'm dreaming, and I want to wake up from the dream, and I'm trying to wake up from the dream. I really want to, and I know I'm dreaming. And all of a sudden, I just realized that's what it is. I'm in a dream, and I'm wanting to wake up. I don't know. It was just this understanding I had. It was just,
yes.
And I feel really impacted by it to be right now.
Very good. Very good.
You I recognize? Feel like I put out, yeah.
You recognize? I
put out, I'm sorry.
You go.
I just wanted to say one more thing. I put out a prayer for guidance and assistance or a miracle to help me wake up.
Nice. Yes.
I feel like crying about it right now. It's so powerful.
This is the awareness of the Holy Spirit and how it works. You, Jacqueline, must ask, and then you will receive. And part of you knows the truth of this. The tears are from your taking a step forward in trust that you can wake up and that the awakening can be done. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and it's a wonderful certainty to alight in you. Good. Excellent. Good, good, good. So, Marian, are you in charge, or does the world kind of control you, or do you control the world? Oop, you're muted.
Let's see. I thought I unmuted earlier. I feel pretty much in control. Okay. I'm not always in control. You're not in control of the situations,
Yeah.
But I'm in control of what I do with them.
Nice.
Doesn't mean that on a moment by moment basis, I might not have a little moment of anger, which rarely is really rare, but we had a little email thing going along with my family, and my brother said something that, you know, it really made me angry, and I had to like put a stop to the whole 11 person email thing and say, I'll get back to each of you one-on-one and we'll do it that way. So
honestly, right? You were honest.
Yeah. Well, and I had to be honest with my email to him that said, you know, I got it and it was like a train wreck and it derailed me and I'm really angry and I was angry for a week and I don't know. You know, so you try to write something that, you know, says, well, how can we heal this and how can we get past this? How can we think about this differently? And we'll see if he writes me back. And if not, you know, I did my best. And if he can't forgive, I'm not holding on to it anymore.
It's easier when you're honest. And so this is you controlling the easy way, is you actually spoke up with your honesty and you did what you needed to do to go to your peace.
Mm-hmm.
The solution will be you'll continue in your honesty and you will find a way to join. And join in this case really means understand.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you take somebody else's side.
Right.
There will be sides in this world. There's always sides in this world. That's part of the dream. Up, down, hot, cold, Republican, Democrat, tall, short, male, female, blah, 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 blah. And so your brother is taking a side. You do not have to take his side, but it would be really nice for you to understand his side.
That's what I asked for.
Good.
I think we all asked. That's all my daughter was asking for, was to, so that we would talk, because we don't really talk very honestly. We kind of, like a lot, in a lot of families, you've learned just, you know, stay away from politics and religion and really anything you believe, just don't talk about it. And she was trying, you know, in her 30-year-old way, trying to get people to be honest and talk. And
yeah.
And
You'll learn.
He just said, you know, she's lost her way, and he apologizes for her. So it was that upset me, I think.
Yeah. But, world made you do something.
Every once in a while.
Bread.
Yep. But I was in control of how I responded.
Yes, you are so capable taking care of Marion. And this is what will bring the love and the light back to the situation for sure. Good. So, Kim, you running your show, or is the show running you?
It just depends on what side of the bed I get up in the morning, I think.
Okay.
And if what the stars are doing, I mean, no, I kind of agree with Marion. I think most of the time, if I'm not running the show, I am aware that I am not running the show, that the world is running me.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, I do try to make a conscious decision about, you know, what's going on. But I find my lesson lately is, because I'm in a job that is working with people all the time, and I'm a service oriented because I do property management. It's really a stressful job, and everybody's always angry with me. And so I have to always kind of take myself to this place if I have no need to defend myself, and just know that I'm just doing the best that I can, and this is their stuff. And that's kind of been really strong for me the past few weeks, because it's just this whole everything, every people are crazy right now, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
And everybody's stressed out because for whatever reason, our freedoms have been taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody likes that. And so,
let's take property management for just a second here.
Yeah.
Okay, these people have paid the rent that you asked.
Yeah.
And whether they are ready or not, it's going to be time to pay again the first of each month or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes in their life, month after month after month. They have to pay. And suddenly, there's a chance that instead of them owing you, you or them. What an opportunity for the ego. Maybe they could delay their payment a bit until you fix the window. Wouldn't that be handy?
Oh, this is what I deal with on a daily basis.
I pay my rent.
And this isn't getting done, and this isn't getting done, and we pay all these dues, and this isn't getting done, and, you know, and then there's the board of directors. That's a whole nother.
Oh, boy. Oh, you get it from below and from above.
I do. And so I have to not, you know, I have to really practice not absorbing it, because I think we're all so...
You know that. But here's the key. You've been doing this long enough that you can trust what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that it's going to do what it does. You said this already. You said it's their thing. It's not something you would take personally. It's their thing. If all of us, this is true, right? And Marianne's brother is doing his thing, and his daughter, oh, she's, what, 17 or something, and read her first newspaper and thinks she knows everything now, right? And she's going to fight for what she, yeah. So they're doing their thing. Once you see that, you can start to learn to trust.
Mm-hmm. I do trust.
Okay.
It's how I get through it.
It's, yes.
You know, I always know that I'm headed in this direction of my conscious contact, my awakening, my trust, I'm always on that path.
Yes.
It's just what I have to go through on that path depends on the decisions that I make about what I'm going through in the present.
Look, and everybody just heard Kim speak about 3 or 4 really clear sentences. Those could apply to if you had cancer, or if you had just taken over somebody else's company, or if you just got married, or if you have a new baby, or if you have a kid with autism. You're on a path, but it's working that path is going to, you're going to have to navigate everything that's happening in the world. Thank you, Kim. It's beautifully said. And I just want to make sure that we are aware of how much the world keeps us busy. Despite our best laid plans for our awakening. Good, good. Jason, how about you? Is the world running you? You running the world? You're not yet. You're not unmuted yet. You're still muted, Jason. There you go. Whoop.
Lately, I think I'm pretty controlled by the world. I'm fairly depressed, so that's a reaction to giving in and maybe not having faith. I don't know.
The Course defines depression in a short sentence, saying you get depressed when you don't get what you want. I mean, what's to be happy about? You're not getting what you want. You're not getting something that you want, even if you weren't even trying to get anything. What you did get is not what you want, if you wanted anything.
That helps.
So you bet. You bet. Good to be aware. Depression becomes an invitation. When you recognize its source, it becomes an invitation that can be used by the Holy Spirit for your awakening. No doubt. No doubt.
Thank you.
Good. Judy. Wow, we get to have Judy on video tonight.
Yeah, the reason you didn't last week, you can still sort of see, I had 9 hours worth of cancer surgery on my face.
Oh, the facial cancer surgery.
So 5 hours of biopsies and 4 hours of plastic surgery putting it back together.
Man, so, it looks good for that. I mean,
really. That's why you didn't see me last week. You would have been horrified last week. Anyway.
You're sure looking good.
Interesting question.
Stay off the bicycle for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. My initial reaction was a pat straight out of Unity Church. Hey, I control my world if I can control my thoughts. And, you know, from AJ being told, I can weed my thought garden and then have a good life that I control. Then reality set in. So I'm along with a few of the other people who have already spoken. I do believe I can control my world. The Course helps me do that. Mm-hmm. Meditation helps me do that. You help me do that. Mm-hmm. And the control is a very positive thing if I can stay in that place of the Course. So it's both ways, but I can have it one way, which is a very good way.
Yeah.
I know I
can
have
it. There is a preferred type of control, and Marian laid it out very nicely, that the world happens as it happens, but she remembers, and so did Kim. She says, well, I'm still going to control how I deal with it.
Yes.
And then I can find peace and go to sleep that night.
Yes.
Key to understand.
I thought that was really nicely said by both Marian and Kim. Yep.
You need to understand the power of your own mind. Gives the Course in Miracles hands to us and lets us, forces us to practice if we do the lessons, and forces us to come to peace and maybe not even know why. We just know it happened.
Yep.
And we're grateful. But it's showing you the power of your mind that's been hidden by the victimization plan of the world. Good, 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 Judy. Donna. Do you run your world? Does your world run you?
Now you can.
Yes.
Well, it's really interesting listening to what other people say. When I did this, I was kind of exploring both sides of the fence because I see that the world controls me, but of course then I was on the other side saying no because I'm constantly aware of the choice of making decisions about what's happening with my reactions. You know, then I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute, I have a choice. So, but then I started thinking, well, sometimes this choice thing starts to feel really good, like, you know, I'm in charge here. Mm-hmm. And it starts to kind of seem like the ego is kind of creeping in there thinking I'm in charge of the world. So, you know, It goes that way. It kind of drifts over to that thing about, you know, first I'm making decisions, but then after that, things are going pretty well. And so my ego feels, you know, it's like my ego. And then there's another state because that could be, you know, when I get in more of that thing, like I'm everything's going along, the bicycle's moving fine. And then I just think, oh, it's a great day. And then I'm thinking, and I'm aware that it's maybe like my ego. So then there's this other state where that gets really, it wakes, the world wakes it up again. Mm-hmm. And then there's this other state where I think it's like they're all separate because I think, okay, now I just have to turn this over. I don't know what to decide. I don't know how to decide. And so then I turn it over. To whatever I'm turning over, you know, I'm turning it over to God. I'm turning it over to Jesus. I'm turning it over however it's coming to me then. And then I feel a different kind of peace about how I'm, you know, it sort of comes back around and I say, oh yeah, there's this kind of peace. It's almost like, you know, the world's running me, but it's like a different kind of running me. It's like I'm in the flow and I'm not doing anything. That's a different state.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of going in that, you know, around that.
And there are only two. There's not 1,000 of these varieties.
Yeah.
There's, like Luann was describing, there's using your decision-making to control the world so that you can exercise your body, get the good food, and get a good night's sleep, and be strong to be available, alive. Mm-hmm. No attack. There's no manipulation. There's no violence. There's no judgment. There's that kind of control. And yet, the one who wins is the body and the character in the dream. Not a problem. I just want to point it out. Then there's when you step back a bit, and it might be in your darkest hours. That's why depression can really work for you there, Jason. In your darkest hours, you're willing to step back and look at a bigger frickin' picture, right? Rather than just trying to get some little problem in your life fixed, you may step back a bit and say, I don't know. I really need help. I need help from a bigger perspective. And this is when the whole, you probably go truly silent in between those questions. Truly silent. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, can come in. So that's what I heard you say. It's beautiful. Good, good. So, Tim, we're talking about the illusion versus the truth, and the aspect we're working on is whether you are aware, do you feel that you control your life, or do the details of your life that you own and identify with, do they control you?
You want me to use words to describe something that words don't work for. Mm-hmm. The question's almost a trap in the way that you've phrased it.
Well, let me be clear. It's absolutely a trap. No doubt about it.
So I look for the things that don't change. If it changes, it exists within time, and then it's an illusion. And if I become invested in it, I get lost.
What are the moments like? So getting lost means you're not free, and the illusion tends to make decisions for you or force you to make decisions whether you want to or not. But then there are times in your life that feel a little more creative, I'll bet. A little more free.
So the times that I'm a little more free are when I understand that love is the only thing that truly exists.
Wow.
Okay. When I understand,
says the man who says I can't possibly put it in words.
Even those words are a potential trap. Finally, the best truth I can convey to anybody else is complete silence, and they get it or they don't.
Yeah. That's when we can hear. Good.
I'm sorry if that's inadequate or it doesn't.
No. Everybody's right there with you. You know, this is it for everybody. Like I say, this is definitely a trap. You busted me on that. But nonetheless, there's a learning here to look at it, to look at where and what you're doing. So thank you. I appreciate that. Julie, how about that? How would you describe whether you run your world or your world runs you?
I appreciate the trap reference because the word control is a problem for me here. I get where you're going with the I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. So in that regard, I know that I am in control, though I sometimes do not choose to be in that place. But the control is an issue for me because part of the reason I'm in my ego a lot of the times is I'm wanting to control things that are not, that are just worldly things that doesn't help to control. So for me, if I, like this phrase of I rules my mind with that, which I alone must rule is a better one. And if I'm ruling it, then it means that I'm constantly surrendering, not that I'm seeking more control, but that I'm constantly surrendering to Holy Spirit.
Honesty.
And then something occurred to me, which kind of made me laugh. I don't know, maybe it won't land for others, but But I actually came into this space with like a lot of my mind of work. So I was very much like in the world when you were asking these questions, and I found it hard to concentrate at first, but I settled into peace. And then when I did, I said to myself, or really to you in my head, you know, I started to say, thanks for bringing me back down to earth. And I was like, no. Thanks for bringing me back down to heaven or to the now. So thank you.
Nice. Nicely said. Thank you. Miley, do you control your world? Is your world controlling you? And you're still muted. And we can't see you. Share a little bit of Hawaii with us.
Well, now all I got is the wall behind me.
Maybe the gecko will scamper behind you and we'll feel like we're there.
Well, here you go. We'll go over here and see. There's a little Hawaii right out there.
Her weed, but I'm in a place.
Different place. So I have trouble with the word control. And, you know, do I control? Because to me, I mean, I get it on the level of that we have to be so vigilant with our thoughts. But the control factor, there's the other piece that we're giving it over to a higher power.
Yeah.
Which, for me, when I say I'm in control, it sounds like a very ego statement.
Uh-huh.
So I had an experience today, and I've been in a process because I'm shifting houses, and where I thought I was going to be going didn't feel appropriate for any of us. So I was this panic, you know, my mind went past survival panic. And I went, of course I'm in panicking. And I went, honey, you've been moving around for so long. You don't have to panic if you trust.
You're getting good at it by now.
Listen to the trust factor. And that was clearly a choice of mind control. And I said, you know, so the training, I went, be in each moment and take the next steps that show themselves. So I did that and got to my next temporary spot and went, oh, you know, just felt the fullness. And then I went, oh, right. Because for all these years of staying here and there, I've noticed that my presencing is what's called for. We share something. There's a presencing. I've been practicing presencing for a long time.
Good.
But I sort of put it down when I get in my little mind, right? Put it down, or you're, you know, because it's not, doesn't fit any of the definitions of what we do from the little world definitions. Mm-hmm. But then today, I had this wonderful confirmation today, because we went to my youngest daughter's surf camp, where she's just being such a pro and giving this experience to this group of women and children about how to be in the ocean, with the ocean, surfing, all these things. But they'd gotten there, and this Hawaiian family had set up in the normal spot. Now, it's this little window of where the surf is, and the rest of it's all flat. This Hawaiian surfing family's right there, I mean, fishing with their poles out.
Yeah.
So I'm watching this, and I just go, yeah, I'm meant to be here today. And I'm just sitting watching kids and smiling and getting to a deeper level with each child just by being so much more, I want to say 100%, but are we ever 100%? So much more in each moment. Miley, and I went, can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear you. Yep.
Am I going too long?
No. Well, I'm going to cut you off right there because you said so much.
Can I finish?
Yes, good
stuff. I'll finish real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
So what happened next was that my daughter came up and had an encounter with the Tita, the elder woman of this local Hawaiian family. And I was right there, so I just stood there. And I let them watch their personalities going at each other. I was just quiet. And then, you know, they did the rah, rah, and then my daughter left, and this lady left. Now I'm standing in the middle of their camp, but I didn't leave because I didn't hear to leave. So I just stood there, and I didn't chase. I just stood there. And then this lady came back, and we started. She went, you know, we were here first, and it's so special, and, you know, all of that. I just agreed with her. I went, yeah, if I was you, I'd be so pissed off. And basically just stayed with her until it changed, shifted. You know, because it got to a point of, you know, and then I said, look at your children. Look at my children. Think of the times we're in right now, this crazy world we're in. Are we gonna have teach them to be fighting and in strife with each other too? And should that, so we got to this place with each other. I've seen it. But now, the clinch was my oldest daughter came. We were all talking about late because all these young women were watching me and all these children were watching me.
Setting example.
And my oldest daughter came in and she said, I watched the whole thing sitting out in the ocean, all the body language. I said, yeah, I was just standing there. She said, you were not. You were grounding the whole thing. So that wasn't my point of the story is that it's not me. It's not my choice. It was not my choice. I mean, it was in the sense that it was my choice to just be fully present with the moment.
Yes.
And hear. But here, it was a different, it's hearing more like Holy Spirit hearing of where to be and how to be in each moment.
And to have more love present. How can you be grounded? How can you be a light instead of darkness? How can you bring understanding instead of defense or attack? And those are the kind of choices the Holy Spirit would have you make in this world. And it sounds like that's what you did, is that you somehow in you was like, I want love to be here. And somehow, indeed, more love showed up. And yet, it is still it's a call within the world. And it sounds like you did great. That's a beautiful story. I like it. It is a call for you to bring more love into the world. And it was the world that says, wow, you need to step up, Miley, or family day is going to have a rough time. Welcome, Sigari.
What are you doing?
Thank you, Miley.
I apologize for being late.
There's no late. Just glad you made it.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Good, good. Carol, do you control your life, or does your life control you?
Well, it's sort of both, because the world, quote, right now, has me at age 83 in Capitola. I am confined, you know, to my quarters for like 16-hour days or whatever, and it's out of my control. I've got to be doing, you know, I can have someone shop for me and do all these things, and I'm leading this passive life. And then the other part of me is in prayer about what is here for me. This is all here the way it's supposed to be happening right now. And what am I going to do with it? Each moment, I really, really want to be living. Let's see, I'm losing my train of thought. Just, I don't want to think of this time as just being lost, that it has purpose right now. And I'm trying to be guided by the Holy Spirit to be living that purpose.
Jason used that word. Jason described being lost. And I'm saying that if you can get lost enough, your mind becomes available to be found. What tends to happen in this world is the distractions of the world keep coming at you so fast, it will run you. It'll run your life. And, you know, if you're lucky, they're great distractions that end up benefiting people around you and benefiting the world. And you get your good exercise in, and then you share somebody else, get somebody else exercise too. Wow, good for you. It's a wonderful story. There's no attack there. There's no violence there. There's no judgment there. In fact, it's just beautiful. And there's nothing there that needs to be changed. And yet, the world continue to run you past 83 years old, painting a smile on your face every day, and still your mind might remain then too busy to be spiritually awakened. But you sure look good doing it. Yeah. That's the truth. Stephen, what can you say about your life running you, or you running your life?
Well, it seems that how it occurs is predominantly I'm occupied with either trying to manage the world or manage my response to the world. But in the midst of that, after, you know, it's everybody's been sharing so authentically and deeply lately, and I just hear so much of myself and what everybody has shared, the almost ambivalence, because there's certainly at the other end of the spectrum, there are those moments, those sort of holy instants where you're just like lit up and truly connected. And as fleeting as it may be, it does tend to pull me forward a little bit. And then there's those days where I have some intention around it, not being me operating, but spirit operating. And often I'll start a day off with that specific intention, and I don't really notice as it's unfolding as much as in hindsight, I might have dealt with some difficult situation with a tenant or something. And in hindsight, just notice just how clean it was, like just how there was no malice, there was no who's right, who's wrong. I just sort of navigated from a different place. And then as hard as it is for me to sort of give myself credit for growth and expansion, you know, there's just so much over time where it seems like there's been shift after shift after shift that even left to my worst devices, for the most part, I'm out in the world from a spirit point of view in terms of really sort of sticking to my guns about a couple of fundamental things for myself. Like primarily, I think the most fundamental thing for me is to operate in the world with kindness. And so it's kind of a mixed bag. And like many people have expressed, you know, sometimes
I want to take that word right there, where you would choose to operate from kindness, kind of echoes in some of the other people who've spoken up.
Yes.
There's kind of two ways to run this. And I like when I choose the peace or the love. Marion's going to bring love back into that situation because it's what she wants for herself.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Right.
Miley, standing there on the beach, said, I'm patiently going to allow this to heal right now. And this kindness that you said is a beautiful word. And there's something wonderful about these principles that lead us upward toward the light, right? Ego is endarkenment, and Holy Spirit is enlightenment. And one of a principle of enlightenment would definitely be looking like kindness. And the beauty of kindness is that if you take a risk, or if you take an effort to be kind, to try kindness, kindness is transformative.
Yes, it is.
Transformative. Because kindness itself is kind. It's kind both ways.
Right.
You being kind and you feeling what it's like to be kind. It's a wonderful thing.
Right. And I could sort of align with what Donna was saying, because it seems like, you know, even living through the principles of the Course, there's those moments where it's like you're checking in with yourself, like, well, how did I do? How did that go? And all of a sudden, you know, before you know it, you're not operating really from surrender, but operating from evaluation or something like that.
You mean self-judgment? Sort
Yes, exactly. So, and you know, and maybe in some cases it's a little more positive self-judgment. However, it's still self-judgment.
That's okay, because what we're doing with the Course in Miracles is for you to wake up that you not only have the choice, but you must make the choice.
Right.
So evaluating how you performed, I'm okay with that. Just say, you know what? I think Holy Spirit would have had me be kinder in that situation. Or I think this kindness really helped the situation heal.
These, great. That's great to hear you say that, because that I can kind of, even when I'm in that mode, I could get it from a different place, which is far more useful, appropriate, and less of a trap for me.
Thank you for that. You are so welcome. And lesson 192 for you. This is all things are lessons God would have me learn. And it's, you know, nothing goes to waste. Every circumstance you're going to find will be presented as an opportunity if you seek guidance toward, you know, up or light. So
thank you.
All good. Jill, do you run your life, or is your life running you?
I run my life.
Good.
Yeah. Because like we said previously, it's all about thoughts, right?
Yep.
So you try to be in control of your own world and your own thoughts, so you don't get run by the world.
You have that freedom with every single minute.
Hey, Andrew, I love your beard.
Oh, cool.
Way.
All right.
You look all handsome and sexy-like over there.
Oh, all right. Well, thanks. Saves on my shading.
Thanks for doing this for all of us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for showing up, Jill. It's really good to see you.
Yeah, it's a delight.
Yeah, it's fun to see everybody. Okay, let's dig in to text page 473, paragraph 9.
Could I get the chapter and number?
Yes. Chapter 22, section 2. And it's paragraph 9, which starts with the words, "Let us look closer." You can do a text search on that phrase. We'll bring you to that step.
Hopefully I don't lose that.
It is so tempting to go backwards, isn't it, and redo those paragraphs from last week. We won't, don't worry. But remember, on page 472, it says, paragraph 6, sentence 1, it says, "This is a crucial period in this course. For here, the separation of you and the ego must be made complete." This is just like where you'd face any kind of addiction, where you got the idea that this drug was something you didn't want to do anymore. But you're thinking, you know, maybe just one more, or maybe just do it at night. And then that, you know, as long as you don't do it in the day, you'll be okay. Just start, you know, easing off. No. Same with the ego. The ego trusted, as we've learned in the last couple of weeks, the ego trusted to handle anything to bring you peace or happiness, although it may seem to work in the world. But its methods go right into what you trust as truth. Therefore, it blocks the truth. If anything here is worthy of hating, then love is not true for you. It's blocked. You have reflections of love. You have dreams of love. You have poems of love. You have descriptions of love. You may even be able to help somebody else find love. But if there's anything in this world that deserves hatred or fear to your happiness and joy, true happiness now, not Luann's workout. It's very important to make the distinction. Workouts are really worthwhile. I do them all the time. But when we gather here for Course in Miracles, we're looking at a material awareness versus a spiritual awareness. We're looking at the addiction of being identified with the material versus being identified with the spiritual. And it's this choice that you must make, and you must make a complete separation of your identity from ego and spirit at some point. It's very important, even if only for an instant. And once you, this is what a spiritual awakening is. It may not be, you know, the awakening that solves all of your fear forever, but each one is like a stair step. Stand on it. Move your way up. This is what it means to become aware of light in the world. Is because you found, like we had many people mention tonight, that there are times when they approach problems to bring more love to the situation. It's not the do-all, end-all, but it was proof positive of the power of your mind to move away from the grip of the world, the control that the world has over you entirely. Indeed. These are kind things to do for you and for the world as well, of course. But so let's dig in. And let's have Masako, would you read for us paragraph 9? You know what? Would you read for us, Masako, just to blend things together from last week, 8 and 9?
Okay. There is no part of heaven you can take and weave into illusions, nor is there one illusion you can enter heaven with. A savior cannot be a judge, no mercy condemnation, and vision cannot damn, but only bless. Whose function is to save, will save. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your voice, or your choice.
Oh yeah, read that sentence again.
Okay. How he will do it is beyond your understanding, but when must be your choice.
Uh-huh.
For time you made and time you can command. You are no more a slave to time than to the world you made.
Black and white. Go ahead, Masako. Let's go for 9.
Okay. Let us look closer at the whole illusion that what you made has power to enslave its maker. This is the same belief that caused the separation. It is the meaningless idea that thoughts can leave the thinker's mind, be different from it, in opposition to it. If this were true, thoughts would not be the mind's extensions, but its enemies. And here we see again another form of the same fundamental illusion we have seen many times before. Only if it were possible the Son of God could leave his Father's mind and make himself different and oppose his will, would it be possible that the self he made and all it made should be his master?
There it is. And now you notice when it seems like you are put upon or treated unfairly, or, you know, the world is running you. This is what's going on. It's important to recognize that although this world does control your body, gravity ain't going to turn off tomorrow. There aren't a bunch of videos of enlightened people meditating or levitating and saying, watch this. Although I could probably do it now. Whoa, yeah, I can do it. Come on. It's because the world is what it is. It's the freedom of your mind is going to have to be separating you from identifying with the material existence entirely. Entirely. Even if only for a moment, a second. The word the Course uses is an instant. This is all it takes to actually crack the ego open and begin your escape. These are what awakenings are to the holy instant, not the holy week and a half where everything was bliss. It's not it. That's not the work. It may be great if you do that. Wonderful. But The ego can be very charitable too with quasi-spiritual awakenings. The spiritual ego can be very charitable. Beware of that. What we're talking about here is a true freedom. Now, so let's dig into some of the details here. All right, so you know, it's pretty harsh, isn't it? You know, that first sentence in paragraph 8, there's no part of heaven that you can take and weave into illusions. What about the love? What about the kindness? What about all those wonderful emotions and feelings that we have in the world that make it so much better? We do make it better, and that's great, and that's no sin. And you can do it for as long as you like, over and over again. You can make whole companies around it. You can make families that are all raised on special, cage-free, non-GMO, female-run companies, and everything is just so much better that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's also not what we're talking about with A Course in Miracles. You see, the world frames everything in loss. All life here, with a lowercase l, right, comes with a punctuation at the end of its sentence. Life here in time and space, including yours and all your family and all your pets, it comes with a punctuation called death. Nobody doubts that. Lots of things you can do to make that life more pleasant. I hope you do. And I hope you share them with me. But it's not what we're talking about here. There is another existence you must become aware of. And it's very careful not to try to weave, that's what we call the spiritual ego. It weaves principles of heaven into the world, trying to make the world a better place, rather than exposing you to true light, to spirit. Let me remind you of something. Hold your finger on this page and flip back to one of my favorite little quotes. Jesus must have been laughing when he did this. Turn to page 298.
It's kind of, what is it? I'm a
298, paragraph 7, sentence 1. And Luann, or I'll just read it for everybody once you get there. I just want you to know this is in your book because it's kind of funny. It says, paragraph 7, sentence 1, chapter 14, section 11, it says, you cannot be your guide to miracles, comma, for it's you who made them necessary. That's kind of short. That's kind of preparing for what we're reading tonight. You, the small Y-O-U, the small S-E-L-F, small self, that's what makes miracles necessary. This is A Course in Miracles, a shift in perception, so you can go from the small self to seeing things from the perspective of the big self. Another way to say that is, you can go from form, material form. You can go from the content to the context in which all things exist. That's what a miracle is, a shift in misperception. It's not making the world a better place. That's not the goal we're doing here. It may happen, and happen a lot, because you get kinder, and you get more patient, and you get more trusting, and more sharing. All that stuff is great, and your world and your life does get better. But still, it's not the point here.
Andrew, the goal is not to live a life that's already over. We're looking at it from behind anyway. Better, the goal is to wake up from the dream altogether. Don't try to live the dream skillfully. Don't try to have the dream have a happy ending or full of kindness or a company run by women and, you know, whatever all the other nice qualifiers you added before. Wake up!
Yeah. If you want to go with the freedom we're talking about, you're going to have to wake up.
Forget about the dream that's already over.
turn to support Tim here, everybody turn into the workbook. You can drop that page. Keep your 473 finger going there. But now we're going to switch over to the workbook, and we're going to go to lesson 158. Don't complain you don't have enough fingers, because I know you have 10 fingers. That's 9 more pages we could go to. Okay, page 298 in the workbook. So the bottom of the page, it says 298. At the top of the page, it says 158. That's lesson 158, but it's page 298 in the workbook, or in the lessons for some people. They don't have a workbook. This is just what Tim was talking about, where Course in Miracles, if you're ready for it, you know, and this is one of the discussions that Jesus has, and when you're ready for it. They're in the book, and you may not have seen them before, but they're in here. It's just another level of discussion that the book has. So, let's see, Luann, would you read for us? It's paragraph 4. Yeah, paragraph 4. And you're muted. Okay, good.
It's interesting that you chose that, because I couldn't get away from the last line in paragraph 8 on 473, which says, "You are no more a slave to time than to the world you made."
Oh yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah. Okay, 4. Time is a trick, a sleight of hand, a vast illusion in which figures come and go as if by magic. Yet there is a plan behind appearances that does not change. The script is written. When experience will come to end, your doubting has been set. Now, when experience will come to end, your doubting has been set. For we but see the journey from the point at which it ended. Looking back on it, imagining we make it once again, reviewing mentally what has gone by.
You ready for that? Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of nice? I thought I was just so pleased with that. Wow, that's that paragraph, and actually, you know, the ones that surround it as well, they are so stark. It's saying, look, the author says, look, from my perspective, it's already done, actually. You're just rehearsing something. You know, for me, it was really peaceful. I thought, cool. There's nothing difficult for me to achieve. It's true. It's already been done.
Yeah.
Enormous relief.
Wow.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of helps with that existential dread that says, oh, maybe all is lost. Nope. Nothing is lost. I mean, yeah. So they, such an amazing section.
So it's kind of like all is already done, so all I have to do is remember that it's done.
Bingo.
Yeah.
And that's what it means to become present. You see, in your meditation, in your meditative moments when you've really achieved the presence here, maybe you're right in between your breaths, everybody knows what I'm talking about. These are the holy instants where you actually do go still. When that happens, it isn't that you achieved something and you know it. It's because you're not doing everything else. You're not doing the world just for a moment. It's an undoing that we do with the Course in Miracles, and you get permission to do that. Permission to undo, even for a second. Then you see how time is a trick. And everything that you would worry about or that you would achieve happens in time. But it's surrounded by loss. The beautiful as it can be here in the world, whatever picture you're holding of a good life in the world, it's surrounded by loss, because that's part of what gives it so much flavor. It's not a problem. It's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. You could do it as many times as you like. It's just not the point of A Course in Miracles. There is a return to joy and an understanding of love that would have a capital L on it, because it would not fit in the picture of loss. That's what most of us are drawn to. So I just want to support Tim with that. Thank you, Tim. It's wake up, and you can. In fact, part of you already is. Okay.
What I liked about it in a way was it's telling me to stop using time for what you first started out today with. Stop using time as a limit to control or as to control. I don't need to think in terms of time as being controlling me.
Right. Time will not be the secret sauce that makes everything work. Miley wasn't waiting for something to happen. She got present on that beach, and she let it unfold with her intention, her present intention. She didn't know the perfect words to say. She didn't know how it was going to go, but her body language apparently was grounded and simple and undefensive. She wasn't attacking or trying to defend. I mean, check out, just to support this vein a little further and support Miley just a touch more. Turn to text page 589. Text 589. So flip the book back 400 pages or so. And chapter 28, section 1. And we're going to read a few paragraphs from here that we don't normally read. You'll see the bottom of that page highlighted because normally we come here for a different reason. But this tonight we're coming here for just paragraph 1 and 2. And this kind of helps you get the courage to do what Miley did, standing on that beach with that upset mother. So Jacqueline, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 1?
That's under the present memory.
Bingo.
The miracle does nothing. All it does is to undo.
Hey, now, there's metaphysics of A Course in Miracles in two sentences. Wow. That's why sometimes the book says, hey, you know, this is simple, what we're doing. Didn't say easy, but by God, it is simple. And that's what happens as you continue with your awakening. You see the simplicity of what's being asked of you. And this is what makes it understandable. And when you get the courage to do some of the crazy things the workbook will ask you to do. Please continue, Jacqueline.
And thus it cancels out the interference to what has been done. It does not add, but merely takes away. And what it takes away is long since gone, but being kept in memory appears to have immediate effects. This world was over long ago. The thoughts that made it are no longer in the mind that thought of them and loved them for a while. The miracle but shows the past is gone, and what has truly gone has no effects. Remembering a cause can but produce illusions of its presence, not effects.
Like continuing to dream a dream over and over again. Tim says, wake up! You know what? Once you're aware that it's a dream, and once you're aware that as pretty and lovely as a dream can have in it, and there's lots of great things in it, it's framed in loss because that's how it was designed. And so there's always this pain of running against the edges of the picture. The jewels you looked at are actually little drops of blood, the Course says. It's not really a mystery. But there is true love, and it's from where you came. The power that holds all this together is nothing but love. There actually is no sin. There actually is nothing to fear. As Lesson 240 has, and Lesson 48 tells us, it says, you know, there's nothing to fear. Or fear is, I'm at home, fear is a stranger here. And of course, has this practice all day long. Part of your awakening. And the paragraph like this says, well, Jesus kind of rubs his head. He knows you're having trouble with the world because, you know, that's what you're complaining about. And he says, you know, the world was over long ago. Is that too much information? But you know, it's not the only place it says that. But he backs off a little bit. He says, but I know it's real to you. I know you're still focusing on it. So Jesus is not in a hurry. Jesus is outside of time. That means part of your mind is outside of time. He says, let's keep talking. So let's read one more paragraph of this, and we got to get back to our work on 473. So, Marian, would you read for us paragraph 2? Oh, it's an amazing paragraph.
2.
All
the effects of guilt are here no more, for guilt is over. In its passing, when its consequences left without a cause, why would you cling to it in memory if you did not desire its effects? Remembering is as selective as perception, being its past tense. It is perception of the past as if it were occurring now and still were there to see. Memory, like perception, is a skill made up by you to take the place of what God gave in your creation. And like all the things you made, it can be used to serve another purpose and to be the means for something else. It can be used to heal and not to hurt if you so wish to be.
If you so wish it to be. Thank you. And so you can use your mind to continue to dream and redream and redream the limiting experience of the world. Tim's like, you know what? Just wake up. Stop that. Stop that and wake up. And Miley's like, I'm not going to let all of my past mess up my interaction with this woman on the beach. The world's crazy enough with this whole COVID thing. She just held her ground and she let peace come into the situation. Didn't use her memory. Stayed present. It's good. It's very good. Okay, so let's jump back now to page 473 and look a little deeper into paragraph 9.
Wouldn't you say, Andrew, that everything we think, if it's not about the future, it's about the past, or we're not thinking about the present?
Yeah, so as it turns out, in the world, you're not present if you're thinking at all. Just as you say, I'm supporting you here. That's correct. In fact, the way that this dream is built, you can't actually live in the exact moment. You can't. The Course says it beautifully. I don't have it memorized, though. It says, but the punchline is, it says, you can't even die.
In any single instant.
In any single instant. Thank you. Because time is of the world. Dying takes time. If you actually notice and take your last breath, one more breath, it goes in, it goes out. Is that it? Is it over? Yeah, let me check my watch. It hasn't breathed for... Yeah, he's dead! Oh, I think his presence is still there. Can you feel his essence? He's still there. He hasn't left yet. Right, Julie? These dying people, you're kind of like, wait a minute, they haven't left yet. Okay, now they're gone. Any single instant, you can't even die. Time is a trick, it's a sleight of hand, and it's all part of the illusion. And it's one of the vectors the Course in Miracles uses. You'll know, we talk about time enough, that time is one of the ways that it paints the world and makes the world prove its existence. But when we start unpeeling this trick of time, and you do that with meditation, Jason, You will step out of time to drop your depression. This is the way you will step out of depression, is you will just go into meditation where you get closer and closer and closer to this instant that is between the seconds, and you try to look at it. That's all. No words, no colors, no pictures. Just make you present of that instant between your breaths, those seconds. Depression will disappear, I guarantee it. All right. Now, paragraph 9. Let us look closer at the whole illusion that you made, that it has power to enslave its maker. This is the same belief that caused the separation. Oh. All right. Well, I just got the hit, so we have to go there. So, causing the separation. These are fighting words, and there's a couple of new people here, so we'll see if we get a fight. But these are fighting words that we're about to touch on in A Course in Miracles for a lot of people. But they are an invitation to understand the dream that we're in, how deep the dream goes, and how well painted is the picture of experience, and how beautiful the frame appears to be of this world. Okay? Keep your finger here and turn way back to the front of the book, page 42. Page 42. And it is chapter 3, section 4, and then paragraph 2. Some of you might have highlighted this, but in a different color than your normal highlighter. That would prove you were paying attention. These are fighting words to a lot of egos that have tripped onto A Course in Miracles. And they've got a lot of training from self-help books and some of the other spiritual and religious phrasing. But you have to recognize A Course in Miracles, well, this one's pretty direct. It does redefine a lot of words in its own way, but here there's not really much room for redefinition. So this is a big clue to what's going on in the illusion that we're talking about on page page 473. Let's see. Jason, are you ready to read?
Doesn't look like he's there.
Yes. Okay, let's go to Donna. Donna, would you read for us paragraph 2 on page 42? Mm-hmm. You know what? Every word in this paragraph, there are no wasted words, I think, in the entire book. But certainly not in this carefully worded paragraph. Jesus knew these were fighting words. But he's like, we've got to get exposing this ego. The sooner the better.
So page 42, what was the paragraph?
Paragraph 2.
Paragraph 2, okay. Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be, rather than as you are. Yet you can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question.
Didn't we just define depression a little earlier as not getting what you want? Well, if you're pretending to be something you're not, you will never get what you truly want. It'll be eventually a deep, deep depression. No doubt. That's why the Course says in chapter 14, it says the Holy Spirit, he needs a happy learner. A happy learner, truly motivated. And he starts out that discussion with, well, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery, living in a body, you first have to recognize that you're miserable. Let's stick to the knitting here, though. This is talking about consciousness, phrasing consciousness. So just so Donna can hear this, Tim, would you read that same paragraph?
Paragraph 2.
Yes, sir.
Consciousness, the level of perception, was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation, making the mind a perceiver rather than a creator. Consciousness is correctly identified as the domain of the ego. The ego is a wrong-minded attempt to perceive yourself as you wish to be rather than as you are. Yet you can know yourself only as you are, because that is all you can be sure of. Everything else is open to question.
So it is simple after all, isn't it? It is simple after all. Consciousness, the level of perception. Perception, the P word, it would be a swear word. in unity. If you were really, if the atonement were complete and you were perceiving, you'd be like, what? No words are wasted in this paragraph. It was the first split introduced into the mind after the separation. Beginning to make the separation something that you could actually even pretend was real. Do you see how important these elements are that make up your world? The innocent, innocent you perceiving. How much more innocent and automatic can you get? You're just perceiving.
Does that mean that the only time then that we are really open is when we are not, when we are not thinking we have consciousness even, when we're not thinking about anything, when we're blank and saying to the Holy Spirit, tell me.
Well, no. That's a learning. That's a learning mind. It's fine. It's very good. But you're not owning your being.
Okay, so consciousness is after I've done my learning.
Consciousness is a substitute for creating. Consciousness is a substitute for being present. Consciousness is an escape from the present moment to where you can countenance self and other. Where you can experience time, for example. You need consciousness to experience time. You would certainly need consciousness to experience guilt. You would certainly need consciousness as a whiteboard and a place to live in order to even be afraid.
So what you're saying is that I cannot do this if I'm relying on my consciousness.
This is correct. You can't be your guide to miracles because it's you who made them necessary. You who live in consciousness rather than out of time. So it's a very different experience. And, you know, it happens. You do step out of time in what we call the holy instant. These are little moments of awakening. We've all had them. If you've practiced a miracle and then a forgiveness in a tough situation and found yourself going, oh, I feel so honest and present and true and spacious, you probably dropped into a holy instant because you let go of the ways of the world. And for that moment, you actually owned your mind again. You were not a victim. For that moment, for that instant, this is you actually being. Just for an instant. You get glimpses of it all the time. You don't often see them, you know, but they happen all the time. Okay, so what have we done to the clock here? All right.
To ask one more thing then?
Sure.
So one of the things we have to learn is, or one of the things I have to learn is, I can't rely on my consciousness for the correct answers.
That is correct, Luann. You cannot rely on your consciousness as you know it for the correct answer. That's right. And you'll know the quality of the answer is very different. You'll know that when the ego's answering from your consciousness, it's comparing the past and expectations of the future, and it's deciding what you should do. And so you get kind of a push to think or to do something. That would be the ego. However, when the Holy Spirit has been called upon, comes from outside your consciousness. When the Holy Spirit is called upon, that's the part of your mind that would actually pull you and invite you. A gentle invitation that it seems overwhelming once you consider it because of the love that starts pulling on you rather than the analytical way to do things better in the world. See, I know you've been there. Everybody's been there. Even if you're not a Course in Miracles student, you've been there where this gentler, more peaceful, larger perspective approach has dawned on your mind. That's what it's like to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's what Tim meant when he said this is a trap question, because you're talking about control thinking or what controls you, and anything that controls you is not anything you want to control you.
Bingo, thank you. It's not freedom, is it? You would not be an extension of God if you were controlled.
Or if I were controlling.
Yeah, that's right. There's something else out there to change out there. Turn to manual page 77, since we're on the topic and we only have a few minutes left. Go to manual page 77 for a little short sentence. We haven't seen this forever.
Can I get some numbers?
Yes. This is manual for teachers. Clarification of terms. Introduction. So it's beginning of the clarification of terms. So the bottom of the page, 77, in the back of your book, and the top of the page is actually blank, but it would say manual for teachers or clarification of terms, just to the right.
Okay.
Just want you to see this short little sentence in paragraph one. We only have a few minutes, but look at sentence four in paragraph one. It says, the structure of the quote, individual consciousness, end quote, the structure of this is essentially irrelevant. Because it is a concept representing the original error or original sin. The structure of the separate individual consciousness and person. How deep does this go towards your awakening and unity? How much of an invitation that when it talks about the atonement, it means this is going to be your personal salvation? I mean, all throughout the book, it's another place that says it's so pithy. And then describing your efforts with A Course in Miracles. You wonder, why aren't there examples in A Course in Miracles so I can understand what Jesus is saying? Well, here's why. To study the error itself does not lead to correction. You are indeed to succeed in overlooking the error. Now, there's A Course in Miracles. It says basically, in one word, forget about it. That's A Course in Miracles. Okay, we've run out of time. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining and studying with us this fantastic section. And we're going to come back next week to the same page, so leave your bookmark right there. So much there for us to harvest. We're going to do it again next week.
As an outsider looking at your group, you have an incredible group of human beings here, and you lead them very, very well. They have deep understandings, and it's a deep pleasure to be a part of it from time to time. To people here.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing yours, Tim. We do have a really great group.
You do.
People invested with seriousness in the work that we're doing, and then they share celebrate and share their difficulties and their successes.
And they're honest.
Honest, yeah. They really expect this stuff to work. That's what I like. You get people on this who just, you know what, this is, show me how this works and let's do it. I love it. Yep.
Thank you, Andrew. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, Jill.
Good night.
Jacqueline. Good night. Hi, Sundari. Good night. See you next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
You're so welcome. Yeah, so good to see you. Good to see you, Masako.
Thanks. Bye. Bye.